From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, we go on the road with The Daily Show's Jon Stewart, lost somewhere on the roads of Washington, D.C.
First, what rights do U.S. citizens have if they're imprisoned in Iraq? That's the question before the Supreme Court today. The justices heard a case involving two naturalized American citizens accused of committing crimes in Iraq. They want their cases heard in American courts. The Bush administration says no, they should be tried in Iraq by Iraqis. Here to tell us more is Slate.com's legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. She was at the court today. And Dahlia, first, give us an overview. These two men, Mohammed Mounaf and Shaki Omar, they're accused of terrorist activities and, I believe, one of storing weapons and harboring insurgents in Iraq, the other of orchestrating a kidnapping, even though he was one of the kidnapped. What did their lawyers say happened there?
Well, Madeline, I think what their lawyers say happened is not enough. One of them, Omar, is still waiting for a trial 3 years later. His wife filed a habeas corpus petition in the U.S. federal courts, and it was actually granted. The other, Mounaf, actually went to trial in the Iraqi system. He was convicted, even though he said at his trial that he had confessed because he'd been coerced with threats of abuse. In any event, he was convicted and sentenced to die by the Iraqi courts, except that conviction was very recently overturned by the Iraqi courts. So, in fact, he's kind of just waiting too now.
And they're being held by Americans, right, at Camp Cropper, I believe, in Iraq. But the U.S. wants to hand them over to the Iraqis. And what's the U.S. argument for that?
Well, their argument was today that they're not actually being held by American forces. They're being held by a, quote, multinational force. This may remind you a little of what they used to say about Guantanamo, right? It's not controlled by the Americans. We just kind of hang out there. This was an extension of the same argument. This isn't just the American military because there's, you know, British people walking around. So it's not the American forces. Therefore, the United States courts do not have jurisdiction there. They likened it to a case that happened in 1948 after World War II when Japanese citizens who were detained in Japan and convicted, the courts found that there was no U.S. habeas jurisdiction to overturn that. Of course, the difference here is we were not dealing with citizens in that Japanese case. We are dealing with them now.
Mm-hmm. And what is the argument on the other side? I understand there have been a lot of front-of-the-court briefs filed on behalf of the petitioners.
The argument was very confusing, to be quite frank, Madeline. The briefing has been very good, and certainly the attorney who argued for the two detainees started very strong, but I think he got a little bit knocked off balance by some of the hypotheticals that the court was throwing at him. He tried to find some limiting principle for himself that quickly got extremely confused, so much so that some of the more liberal justices were just short of shouting at him to try to corral his argument. Right at the very end, in his last moments of his presentation, Justice Stephen Breyer, in fact, said to him, quote, "Do you really need all this to win your case?" In other words, we're so confused, we don't even know what you're arguing. Just, you know, go back to the basics and help us understand why U.S. courts holding U.S. citizens have U.S. habeas jurisdiction. But it was extremely confusing and hard to follow, to be perfectly candid.
Uh-huh. And the basics are habeas, you know, habeas corpus, and what rights do Americans have when they're captured overseas, right?
That's right. And this is the next in a long string of cases we've had since the war in Iraq started, trying to tease out the scope of habeas rights. We've had several times the court has come in and been quite generous in their definition of who is entitled to habeas corpus rights. And the reach of this case is potentially quite broad, because if, in fact, the American military is not in control of the forces over there in Iraq, there's a real question about whether any citizen could ever really claim habeas jurisdiction.
And do you think this will be another 5-4, a close vote?
I think if we put aside, as I said, the extreme weirdness of today's argument, it's going to be very close to the 5-4, with Justice Kennedy, I think, trying to split somewhere down the middle. Some limiting principle has to arise, but it was not clear at all in argument what that principle may be.
Dahlia Lithwick of Slate.com, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.